All right, so I guess I get the honor of being the last presentation before the break, so I guess that means I'm kind of under pressure to keep it quick. So I'm kind of involved with a project in central North Dakota that really got started in 2014. And we got selected, fortunately, to be the in North Dakota to be the first test site in the U.S. to explore the integration of UAVs into civilian airspace. And so what this means is that with the research we're doing in UAS technologies is guided by the FAA and we're following all the formal regulations that go along with trying to collect information not only for agriculture research but on UAV technology in general. And so since we've got to get going in 2014, we've had about 2 years of experience now working with this technology, and we've been able to conduct several flights over the course of the 2 years in order to get some of this data. And essentially what the goals from our end were to begin with, and they still are, is to take the aerial images and compare them to data that we're collecting on the ground and determine, number one, how accurate are the aerial images compared to ground-based methods, as well as identifying what you can measure with aerial sensing that maybe wasn't possible before. And so for the most part, we've just been dealing with color, NIR, and thermal image scans to this point. So I guess kind of one of the things I wanted to do was some people have different familiarities with remote sensing, let alone what's going on in the UAV industry. And so I kind of wanted to give just a background a little bit on what it is, what we're doing, what other people are doing. And so typically with remote sensing, whether it's ground or aerial based, most people are looking at a vegetative index of some kind. NDVI is the most broadly adapted index used for this, and essentially it's just a broad index that detects some kind of plant stress. And it is broad, and so you could be looking at nutrient deficiency, pest severity, or just general plant health. And so kind of one of the things that has to go along with that is you need some kind of a reference. You need the key, you need to look on the ground and see what's going on, and then the NDVI will tell you relative differences based on whatever you find to be the limiting factor. And so this was indeed what we began looking at with UAS technologies, was comparing using NDVI to compare like handheld green seeker data to an aerial image analyzed with the NIR filters. And so essentially, the thing that I want to keep in mind when we're doing our research is that the aerial frames really allow us to go beyond what you can do with ground-based sensors, and some of that is due to equipment limitations or whatnot. You don't have your equipment mounted to a spray boom or other type of thing. You're able to take the a sensor and carry it over your target area, regardless of what other operations you're doing out in the field. And so the data collection can go beyond standard vegetative indexes. And just to give you an example of some of the information we have captured, when we're looking at aerial data versus handheld green seeker data, we found that for at least cereal crops, there is a very strong relationship between the two. You'll see a little bit of variability between ground and aerial sensing, but by and large, it is doing a pretty good job of detecting what's going on in the field, at least as good as what's currently out there. And so once again, just kind of as a state of the industry, if you will, a lot of people will say, well, if we're looking at the same things we're doing on the ground, what advantage is there to aerial applications that nobody understands fully yet, and it takes longer to get the information you're looking at. And so just to go over a few points along those lines too, so some of the things that you'd be looking for with an aerial platform is a very quick data collection. All right, you could wake up one morning and go and fly several sections of land and collect all this information. Okay, and then kind of along that same lines is because you're not taking a ground-based platform out across the field, you're not going to disturb the crop or cause any damage. And sometimes there's a lot of value in just viewing a color image of a field. Getting a bird's eye view of what's going on in the field has a lot of value in itself, regardless of any kind of analysis. And then once again, it really opens the door for other things that can be done. Now, of course, the flip side of that is because at the moment, a lot of the people offering commercial UAV services really aren't collecting anything that you can't do on the ground. And the disadvantage at the moment is that a lot of the ground-based methods are fairly integrated into other planting harvest equipment that a farmer may already be using. And the fact that the data processing is very complicated, and from what I understand, most of it is being outsourced by the either software or UAV provider. So, you know, we start thinking about these things, then naturally the next steps is, well, okay, what kind of information can you collect with a UAV that you wouldn't easily be able to collect with ground-based sensing? Okay, and a lot of the things that people kind of steer towards right away is counting plants. Okay, for row crops, that's a very important thing to know. And you could count the plants in an entire field rather than taking subsamples like you might now in typical crop scouting techniques. Okay, and so you might be able to use NDVI for weed control, but more specifically, you can kind of ignore the interference that would be caused with NDVI from the crop itself and solely look at the weeds between the rows. And this would also be important not only in general weed management, but also herbicide resistance detection. And one of the things that could fairly quickly be adopted with this technology is going out and detecting noxious weeds. And this can be done even in rangelands, but also after crops have been harvested. The most obvious thing would be to, and we've done this, is to go and detect Canada thistle growing in wheat stubble after harvest. And you could generate a map and only do spot applications in the areas where it's needed. And one of the things that I'm really interested in with the sensing is just trying to collect crop maturity information. I think that there is a really great opportunity there for getting a lot more practical information that may be useful to some producers. So just to give you a couple examples of what I was talking about. So here's a wheat control study that we had in 2014, where we had varying levels of wheat control based on a particular herbicide that was applied. And the outlines here are the plots. And as it just so happens, we had a good planter skip in these plots, which gave us an opportunity to explore some things with the imaging. And so with the infrared image, we were able to convert this and generate some NDVI values from these plots. And so in the chart, we have a visual assessment of the level of weed control provided in each of the plots. And then we compared that to just going over the top of it with a handheld green seeker. And when you look at these two sets of data, there really isn't a lot of correlation there. They're very different values. Okay. So the next thing to do would be to go over the entire plots, the outlined area here, with image processing software and calculate average NDVI values for the entire plot. And there you can see the values start to separate out a little bit, but it's still a very poor representation of what's going on. But when you focus your image processing scan to just these areas where that skip was, so where you're only looking at weeds, it was actually incredible when you look at the ratios between these values and compare it to the ratios of the visual assessments, they were nearly identical. And so it turned out to be a very good method for estimating weed control in this case. Okay, and so one of the other things we were able to assess, we were able to go into some of our soybean variety trials, in which we have around 70 entries with a wide range of maturity groups. And what we were trying to do was try to predict the day of physiological maturity of each of the soybean plots that we had in this trial. And so these maturity dates were collected on the ground by me visually, and then we flew over the trial and collected imagery towards the early end of when the soybeans started reaching physiological maturity. And it was kind of interesting because there was a very strong trend here, in that you were still able to predict soybean maturity 13 days before it happened, which is pretty impressive considering visually when you look at soybeans, 13 days is a long time during maturity and a lot can happen. But you're still able to sense the plant's health way beyond when you would see it visually. But that really only has limited applications for a lot of producers, since you really still need some kind of a reference to gauge when something is going to mature. So the next step in this would be to start investigating thermal images. And this is something we don't have a lot of data on yet. We're just kind of getting into this field. But here's an example of some of the images, thermal images we collected of field peas at maturity. And so if you look at this first image here, you can see very clearly where some of the pods are. Okay, and then when you look at the differences in temperature in those image, again, the pods very clearly stand out from the rest of the field pea residue. And so the idea here is that, especially for a crop like corn, that you might be able to go through and generate a harvest moisture map prior to harvest. And that has several applications. You know, it might be something that would be used to determine a harvest order if you have a large area. Maybe your fields are a long ways away and you need to start working on logistics. You could determine harvest order of the fields. Or it could be something where you either go in and harvest only the dry areas and then come back and harvest the wet areas. Or maybe gives you more information to blend the grain more accurately and get a better overall moisture for either storage or for marketing. And so kind of the thing that a lot of people are starting to get into right now is hyperspectral sensing. And most of what I've understand that people are looking at is trying to identify specific weed species in a field based on the signature wavelengths that these weed species project. And I think, other than just trying to identify the weed species, I think the ultimate goal in most cases would be to try to develop some kind of chromatograph to determine a species richness and throughout a field. Again, that would help maybe with some herbicide or weed control decisions. But kind of an alternate way I think you could look at this would be to use hypospectral sensing more like a spectral photometer, and maybe even look at specific protein levels within plants. For instance, with herbicide resistance, several modes of action, when they're resistant to the herbicide, there'll be elevated levels of very specific proteins. And that might be something that you can map, so across species, but very specific to a problem that a person might be dealing with in their field. So ultimately, the way I see it right now is that UAS techniques are cumbersome, and I kind of compare them to bag phones of about 20 years ago, and the fact that I think everybody can see their application, but right now it's a little bit too clunky and kind of difficult to work with for a lot of things that we want to do. And so the biggest limitations I see to research include a storage capacity. These images can be huge, especially when you're talking about large acres. And so along with that, then you also need the processing power to handle the analysis of those images. And there's also a lot of technology that most of us will have to learn to use in order to do this, let alone the regulation hurdles or cost barriers to entry into this research. But I think that in the future, you know, currently, the commercial ag production decisions are based a lot on yield estimates, goals, precedent, what they've been doing, and a lot of assumptions. Okay, and I think that the UAS really represents an opportunity to quantify a lot of what these decisions are based off of more accurately than we've been able to do in the past. We're a long ways from getting to that point yet, but as the technology matures, I think it represents the best opportunity we have for actual quantification of many of the problems we have out in the field. And thank you.
Thank you, Eric.
We're at the break right now, but I'd like to go ahead and open up the floor for any questions for Eric.
Mike.
And for Mike. Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we've mostly been working in corn with counting plants, and it's been okay. We're still kind of fine-tuning our software. I've seen other people have been able to do it more accurately than we have. The limitation we've had was the plants have to be really small because the software only can count the plants if they are separated, if the leaves aren't touching each other. But I've seen other people who've been able to separate the plants even when the leaves overlap and get fairly accurate information for stand count.
Just to follow up on that, do you have issues as to how close you can be to the plant so that it doesn't kind of make the leaves brittle with the
crops? I don't think that would be so much the issue, but I think wind in general could definitely be an issue. We've had a couple of flights on some windy days, which the UAVs handle just fine, but when you have a mosaic image and the leaves aren't exactly in the same spot in each image, that can cause some issues for sure. Yeah.
In your original slide, you showed both a multi-rotor and a fixed wing. Was this all done with what kind of airplane were you using?
Good.
Was it a quadcopter or a fixed wing? And good. Which way do you think that is going?
Good question. Yeah, we have used both fixed wing and quadcopter with our data collection. And this really depends on what you're trying to do. The quadcopter gives you a better resolution image because you can fly any heights over the crop. The fixed wings really have they can cover a lot more area, but the resolution of your image is going to be lower because they have to fly higher. And so you're kind of limited on what you can collect. From a research standpoint, you know, my opinion would be the quadcopters are better. But from a producer standpoint, I think the direction would probably be more towards fixed wings.
How did you go about the georectification imagery to apply it into other software, overlay with other maps? Otherwise, you don't fly it. Or you can't apply it into other software.
Yeah. Paulo, you might be a better person to answer that.
The way that we set up the research is we have a crew from the test site that flies the airframes, and a group on campus that they do all this teaching, the images, and georeference images. So the product that we get is the mosaic georeference. Right?
Yep.
So we actually don't have to do the georeference.
Your UAV is not doing the georeferencing, it's a post-analysis correction.
We're getting a new model this next year that will be doing that automatically, but our initial experiments did not have automatic georeferencing.
The camera that we flew the first flight, it didn't have the capacity, the GPS attached to it. So sometimes you could have the image put in any way that you can imagine. So
comment on detecting resistant weeds is intriguing. Are you saying you can detect differences between a weed that is resistant and non-resistant? Proteins, has anyone ever done this with multispectral?
Not that I'm aware of, and that's something we're just getting into. It seems like it's possible, but I can't say that it is, that you can do it, but we're going to be looking into that, and I think it seems like you could do it. Yeah.
And looking at weed pressure and row crop, have you had much success being segregating the planted rows away from the weeds and doing that in a decent manner?
Yeah. So, you know, there's software that you use for counting plants that basically ignores all the background information and only focuses on the crop rows. And in the same way, you can do the opposite of that, where you essentially eliminate the crop rows from your image and only look at the background. And so in that way, you can pretty well ignore what's going on except for the area you're interested in. Yeah, one last question, I think. I don't have a good answer for that. We haven't really looked at soil moisture as much. We've been mostly just looking at canopy temperatures, and so I don't have an answer for that. Yep. So, all right, thanks.